your science magazine of the air. This is the story of a mighty dream that became at last a monument to human genius. Yes, and a soaring gateway to America's progress. Your science magazine of the air presents The Builders of the Bridge, starring Claire Trevor as Emily Warren Roebling.
I knew and loved them both, John A. Roebling, who dreamed the dream, and his son, Colonel Washington Roebling, my husband, who made it a reality. John Roebling came to this country burning with a vision of mighty bridges spanning the broad rivers of America, linking city with city, man with man. He built bridges for America that crossed the Allegheny, the Monongahela, the Niagara, and the broad Ohio at Cincinnati. I remember that bright morning in the spring of 1867 when Papa Roebling strode excitedly into our living room.
Washington, I wanted to sail at once for Europe.
Europe, Father?
The company has been formed at last to build a bridge over the East River between New York City and Brooklyn. And I have been appointed chief engineer.
Oh, Papa Roebling, how wonderful.
After all these years waiting.
And to think they doubted you and said a Brooklyn bridge would be impossible to build.
There are many who still think so, Emily.
Why the trip to Europe, Father?
Well, son, I wanted to consult the leading engineers in England, France, Germany. A new method of thinking based on foundations has been developed. Find out everything about it. And while you are there, investigate this new structural material they call steel.
Very well, Father. I'll miss you, Emily. And I won't be here when the baby comes.
You're not going to leave me behind, Washington. Where you go, I go.
Sir, that is good. Stay a year if you like, and maybe that baby will be born in Mühlhausen like his grandfather, eh? Have a good time. Now, but remember, I want precise details of the processes mentioned. Figures, blueprints,
and tin types of the baby, especially if it's a boy.
Oh, yeah, naturally. That is good. Meanwhile, I should be making my surveys and drawing up my plans. It seems I can see it now. Ah, the bridge will be beautiful.
We sailed for Europe, Washington and I, and as the months sped by, he consulted with Europe's foremost engineers, studied all of Europe's latest engineering achievements, and reported everything to his father in long, detailed letters. Letters in return from Papa Roebling were very disheartening.
The fools, the dull-witted dunderheads.
Washington, what is it? More trouble about the bridge.
Father writes that his plan for using steel wire instead of iron has aroused violent opposition. People are saying that the only reason he's so eager to build the bridge is because his sons own a wire factory.
Don't be upset, darling. There'll always be small-minded people who spread ugly rumors. They won't stop your father.
No, but Emily, he says New York is calling the whole project fantastic and impractical.
Is he discouraged? He hasn't stopped making his surveys.
Oh, no, not Father. He says he's asked 7 leading engineers to review his plans and to make special trips to examine the Cincinnati and Niagara bridges. Oh, I should be there with Father.
I know how you feel, dear, but don't you see, he needs you more right here, doing just what you're doing.
Yes, but there's so many people there in New York working to defeat the bridge, even before construction gets underway.
They won't succeed. And you must go on with this tour because the bridge will be built. It must be. Our baby was born in Mühlhausen and christened John Roebling II. My husband visited the steelworks at Essen, Germany, and in Birmingham, England, and found the new material superior in every way to iron. Then, with drawings and details of the new construction methods, we returned to New York, where Washington immersed himself in a full year of work as aide to his father in perfecting the plans for the bridge. Then, just as Papa Roebling was completing the surveys, he was badly injured.
Hurry, driver, hurry. Colonel Payne, how did it happen?
Your father and I were making a survey to determine the exact location of the Brooklyn Tower.
Yes.
I was on the transit, and he was standing on a cluster of piling near the Fulton Ferry slip, receiving my signal.
Yes, well, what happened?
Well, he was so engrossed in the work that he didn't notice the ferry approaching. He crashed heavily into the piling, and his foot was crushed.
Oh, I'm glad you took him to our place. Emily can look after him. What does the doctor say?
They were preparing to amputate the foot when I left. Trying to convince your father to permit the use of an anesthetic.
And of course he wouldn't stand for it.
You know he's prejudiced against conventional medicine.
Yeah. Driver, faster. Whip up the horses. Mrs. Roebling, you may be able to make him take his medicine. He has lost jaw now, and without it, I would despair of saving his life.
Well, I'll do the best I can. Come. Come, Papa Roebling. Please. Just one teaspoonful of this medicine. It'll ease the pain.
Emily, I prescribe my own treatment. I'm not afraid of pain.
Oh, but Papa Roebling...
You're a good nurse, Emily, but you should be with your baby.
He's well cared for, Papa. Now it's you that needs care.
Ah, I'm like a helpless child. My sweet Emily, you are like a daughter of my own. Washington is lucky if I have a wife like you. Emily.
Yes, Papa.
Where's my son? Washington?
Right here beside you, Father.
Son, you must carry on in my place. I shall not survive this ordeal.
But you will, Father. I haven't the slightest doubt. Work on the bridge may be delayed a few months.
Son, you have worked with me. I know the plans for the bridge.
Yes, Father.
Good. Let the construction work begin. Emily.
Yes, Father.
You must see that he builds the bridge. He must complete my task. I will not be there to see it. But I know when it is done, the bridge will be...
Yes, Father.
The bridge will be beautiful. An ancient tradition has come down across the centuries. The bridge demands a life. Our bridge exacted its tragic toll. At the end of his long flight, within sight of his goal, John Roebling, scientist, engineer, and man of vision, passed away. He had entrusted the bridge to his son, Washington, and the board of directors appointed my husband chief engineer in his father's place. To this task he devoted his strength, his career, his life.
The base will have to support a weight of 80,000 tons. The roof of the casing must have adequate strength and just... Oh, Emily.
Yes. I've made you some hot tea, dear.
What time is
it? Almost daylight.
Oh, you should be in bed, dear.
So should you. Now, I'm going to sit right here until you drink this.
Emily, I don't know what to do. This new method of building deep foundations underwater, there's little known about it. And yet, in order to erect the two towers in the river, we've got to have firm and deep support.
Well, just what is the new method?
Well, we build a pneumatic casing. You might call it an enormous wooden diving bell. An airtight box with a roof and sides, but no bottom, where the men can work under the water.
Well, but if it has no bottom, what keeps the water from rushing in?
Compressed air, which is constantly pumped into the chamber.
Oh.
You see, the object is to sink the casing far beneath the river, digging away the mud and boulders until it rests on a firm foundation. Then, fill it with concrete.
I see.
At the same time, we'll be building tens of thousands of tons of masonry on the roof of the casing. These will be the towers that rise far above the surface of the water.
And from which the suspension cables will be swung.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Emily, my dear, you'll become a bridge builder by contagion.
The first casing was built and sunk under the East River. My husband was the first man to enter the underwater chamber to make certain it was safe for the workmen. Every step of the construction was a question mark and a hazard, and Washington met each one with ingenuity and courage. As the Brooklyn Tower neared completion, work was begun on the New York side. Here, layers of quicksand had to be conquered, and the men had to penetrate to an underwater depth twice as great as that on the Brooklyn side. And then, the cruelest hazard of all, the dread and mysterious Chasen disease struck at the men, gripping them in agonizing paralysis.
But Dr. Smith, isn't there something we can do?
Colonel Roebling, we know practically nothing about this strange malady, except that it's connected with working under high air pressure, and that it usually strikes the men as they emerge from the compressed air chambers.
Oh, Washington, have you had your lunch?
Emily, what are you doing down here? Mrs. Roebling asked me how she could help, and I asked her assistance in serving hot coffee to each man as soon as he comes out of the case.
And it seems to help them, Doctor.
Good. Dr. Smith, if medical science is powerless to find the remedy, then we must increase our precaution.
Colonel Roebling.
Yes, Martin, what is it?
Bad news, sir. I just got word from John Myers' house.
John Myers? Is that the man I sent home this morning when he came out of the casing?
Yes, Dr. Smith. He's dead.
Washington, you must stop blaming yourself.
The worst of it is there'll be others. We can't lift a finger to stop it.
But many of them have already recovered, and heaven knows you've done everything. Everything.
You saw the editorial in the evening paper. A case of criminal negligence.
But you can prove that it wasn't. You engaged Dr. Smith to be at the bridge every day, long before the first case occurred.
Emily, I'd better prepare a report to the public at once.
No? Oh, but it's so late. You've had such a wearing day.
No, Emily, it must be done now. I'll be in my study. Please see that I'm not disturbed.
Yes, I'm coming. Oh, Martin.
Where's the colonel, Mrs. Roebling?
In his study. He asked not to be disturbed.
But there's a fire in the casing.
A fire? Under the East River?
The entire timbering's in danger. If it burns, the whole tower will collapse.
The car panic! After gas didn't work. They need more pressure on the hoses.
All right, I'll give it to them.
More pressure on the hoses. Fire's got inside the timbering.
How did it start? Does anyone know?
Some darn fool kept his lunch on top of one of the timbers and went to look for it with a candle.
Coming through.
Hey, Redden, you can't get out of the casing again. The colonel gave strict orders. No man was to be down there for more than half an hour to stretch.
But the colonel himself's been down there for 7 hours.
Martin, is that true? Have you been down there that long?
Mrs. Roebling, you shouldn't be here. You're liable to get hurt.
Martin, we can't let him do this. Please go down and bring him up. Please.
Martin, I tell you, I'm all right, perfectly all right. We put the fire out except for the inside, the fourth course of the timbers.
Colonel, you've been down here over 7 hours. Do you want to get the case and bends? Come on, sir. Mrs. Roebling is waiting for you upstairs.
Emily, here?
Yes. All right, I'll go up. But if you can't get at those timbers with the hoses, mud the case. Here he is, Mrs. Roebling.
Washington. Oh, my dearest.
Now, Emily, there was no reason for you to be concerned.
Washington.
It's all right, I'm just... Emily.
Oh, darling. Martin, go on back to Smith. Hurry, Martin, hurry.
At the age of 35, my husband, Colonel Washington Roebling, chief engineer for the Brooklyn Bridge, was struck down by the patient disease. Painfully paralyzed, doomed to lifelong suffering. In 1872, there was no remedy, no hope of recovery. Only the terrible knowledge that his sight and hearing would grow steadily worse, and that every hour would be tortured with pain. But his mind was not affected. In fact, it seemed to me, he was sharper and quicker than ever before, driven by a divine urge to finish the bridge.
Emily, my instructions for the work on the bridge are so incomplete. No one will be able to follow them if I die.
You won't die, and you will finish the bridge.
My dear, how can I? Helpless cripple confined to this room, unable to walk.
Listen to me, darling. I'm only a woman, I know. I can be your feet, your hands, your voice. I will go to the bridge every day, give the men your instructions. See that they follow to the letter.
Emily, you know nothing about engineering.
But I can learn if you'll help me. Teach me what I have to know.
So much. Higher mathematics, stress analysis, bridge specifics.
I'll learn, and I'll be your messenger. Here from this very window, you can watch the building of the towers and the swinging of the cables. Your brain will direct the men. Your spirit will inspire them. Darling, you will finish the bridge. You will.
Emily, we will.
And Martin,
yes?
These are Colonel Roebling's instructions for the boom barracks. Once they're in place, they must be inspected daily by the foreman in charge of the rig. Well,
Gentlemen, these are Colonel Rogan's plans for the masonry anchorages to be constructed at the indicated distance shoreward from each tower. Mr. Farrington.
Yes, ma'am.
These plans show the equipment that Colonel Roebling wants you to set up for the spinning of the cables. Watch, dear. Martin is downstairs.
Is he worried about the storm?
Terribly. He says almost every dock and wharf on the East River has been blown down, and the wind is still rising.
Tell him the bridge will stand.
The bridge did weather the fearful storm of 1878, but suddenly it was facing another storm, a rising storm of public opposition.
They've already exceeded the funds fixed by the legislature, and now they're asking for more.
All of a sudden, they need 1,000 additional tons of steel. Now, isn't it a little late to be making that discovery? Just what is this? Blunder or plunder?
Why isn't the chief engineer himself here to explain?
Yeah, why isn't he? Gentlemen, the well-known fact that Colonel Roebling is an invalid, unable to leave his room.
And he has no business being chief engineer of the bridge. I move that Colonel Roebling be requested to be present at the next board meeting. And that whether he appears or not, we appoint another engineer in his place.
Emily, they can't take the bridge away from me. I'll tell them so myself at the next board meeting.
My dear, for your own sake, I can't allow you to attend it. You'll have to write them another letter.
No, Emily, this time a letter will not be enough. These accusations, these suspicions must be answered personally.
Watch you for 10 years, I've been your messenger. If you tell me what you want to say, I'll appear at that meeting for you. That is, if you have enough faith in me.
Emily, dear, I have as much faith in you as I have in the magnificent plans of my father.
Oh, darling.
Why, Roebling, is that his wife? Why isn't he here himself? What can a woman know of these things?
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please. Mrs. Roebling.
Gentlemen, my husband has asked me to tell you this. It will be impossible to complete the bridge for the sum total originally estimated. The design of the bridge has been widened to 85 feet and 2 tracks for horse cars added. Labor costs have risen, and the price of iron and steel have greatly advanced.
Well, what about this 1,000 extra tons of steel? What's the excuse for that?
Colonel Roebling has no excuses. He has reasons. The additional steel is necessary because Colonel Roebling has been authorized by a member of this very board to strengthen the structure so that a train of heavy Pullman cars might be run over it with absolute safety.
Mrs. Roebling speaks the truth. I shall authorize the chief engineer.
Mr. Roebling, would it not be better for Colonel Roebling's state of health if he were to be relieved of this enormous responsibility?
Good. Colonel Roebling would be deeply touched by your concern. As for squaring his health, gentlemen, through 12 years of bitter trial and constant suffering, he has carried the project successfully forward. Now, after all his work, it's proposed to take the bridge away from him. Only 9 months before its completion. Gentlemen, the injustice of this proposal must be evident to you. The bridge is Colonel Roebling's by right of inheritance, by right of his own labors, and by right of his own sacrifice. Well, gentlemen, you doubted the stability of our bridge. This is the first official crossing at the roadway level. Now, what do you think?
We're only walking on planks, and yet there's no swing. Everything's so massive, so solid.
Wouldn't you like to consult with your engineer?
Well, how about it, Mr. Steele? What's your professional opinion?
Sir, I call it the engineering triumph of the age. It will mark a new era in the science and art of bridge building.
Mrs. Roebling, our doubts have been cleared away. We have confidence in the bridge. And in Colonel Roebling.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's it. Thank you, Chief, Mrs. Roebling. Are you signaling for me?
Yes, Mr. Field. You see, my husband is watching us through his field glasses, and I want him to know that all is well. On May 24th, 1883, 13 years after the first case in Wisconsin of the old Fulton Ferry slip, the bridge to which John Roebling had given his life and Washington Roebling his strength was completed. A gala celebration was arranged to mark the opening, and Washington and I watched from his window.
Emily, we've waited 13 years for the gala.
Yes. Look, here in the headlines, the Brooklyn Eagle calls it the eighth wonder of the world and hastens to add eighth in time, but not in significance. They're starting the cross. Here, use your field glasses.
Yes. Here they are, Emily. President Arthur and Governor Cleveland. They're leading the procession across the stand.
There go the guns. A salute to the Brooklyn Eagle.
Emily, I... Take the glasses, my dear. Can't help thinking of Father if he could only be here to see you.
The bridge is beautiful. Just like Papa Roebling said it would be.
But what are they doing now, Emily?
They're crossing to the Brooklyn side with ceases festivities. And then they will come here. The governor and the president of the United States.
Yes? To this house?
Yes. They want to tell you things the whole world is saying about this.
Without you, Emily, the bridge could not have been built. Without you, I would not have been.
Oh, my dear.
And if the governor and the president and the world did not already know it, I shall tell them. Yes, Emily. Whether the official records say so or not, you, too, are a builder of the bridge.
You've been listening to The Builders of the Bridge, starring Claire Trevor as Emily Roebling. The part of Washington Roebling was played by Frank Graham. This program was taken from the Cavalcade of America and has been a presentation of your science magazine of the air. Thank you.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
Thank you.